From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. Today we'll be looking once more at the fifth commandment, Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment is vital for the welfare of our families, our homes, our churches, and our nation. It has a pertinent message for us all, so stay tuned. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. Remember that we have some ongoing resources that we offer freely to all our listeners. Let me make special mention of a couple of them. First, we have our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD with brief doctrinal studies, and devotional messages, testimonies, and music. And then we have the April-June issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. This is an issue you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the people of God today. Abortion on demand, euthanasia, homosexuality, the Lord's Day. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician. That's Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. Now you may have that or the devotional tape or CD, or indeed any of the other resources that we mention from time to time here on the program, by writing or calling us at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-877-LTBS 1-877-577-5827. I trust that you'll make sure to be in touch with us. We look forward to hearing from you. of the worldwide Anglican community, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, wants all schools not to teach creationism. Of course, he's perfectly happy that they teach Darwinism. He was reacting against the practice in two London academies founded by an evangelical businessman and in several other schools of giving students a Bible-based view of the origin of the universe. His reasoning is bizarre. He says that he worries that by setting the Bible as a stark alternative to the prevailing evolutionary theory, creationists could undermine the doctrine of creation. He said, "My worry is creationism can end up reducing the doctrine of creation rather than enhancing it." I call this reasoning bizarre because the Archbishop, for some reason, sees no danger of teaching students Darwinism and thereby reducing the doctrine of creation. The truth is that, like other religious apostates, Rowan Williams does not believe what the Bible teaches about the creation of the world. He has long since sold out to the forces of atheistic evolutionism. Like many others, he's content to try to marry the godless theory with a minimal remnant of Scripture's creation doctrine. This notion is termed theistic evolution, meaning that God is the ultimate cause and evolution the means that he chose to use to accomplish his purpose. What Williams and his kind do not tell people is that in their zeal for evolution, they not only give up the biblical doctrine of creation, but with it the biblical doctrine of man, of sin, of history, and of salvation. No matter how they cloak their attack, people like the Archbishop of Canterbury reduce the Bible to the level of lies. They may call it myth or some such thing, but the fact is that they deliberately deny the plain meaning of the Bible and the message that it intends to convey. So we come down to the choice. Do we follow the Archbishop of Canterbury, or do we follow the Bible? Sadly, millions already follow the Archbishop or others like him. They are blind followers of blind religious leaders who have long since apostatized from the truth of God's infallible word. But that word stands fast. Neither it, nor the fact of God's creation of the world, can be reduced, to use Rowan Williams' word. While Christians should always be careful about equating any scientific theory of creation with the infallible truth of God's word, they should always seek to ensure that any scientific theory they present is measured by the plain teaching of Scripture. It is true that the Bible is not a science textbook, and we cannot make it such. But it is the book of ultimate truth by which every scientific postulate and position should be evaluated. The Archbishop of Canterbury wants us to stop using the Bible to explain the origin of the world. That is apostasy. In Christianity, we measure everything by the standard of God's book. We have been looking at the fifth commandment and stressing the duty of parents in instructing their children and in providing for them. Today we return to this fifth commandment, and the emphasis is that parents must provide the best possible home for their children. But I point out that that has little to do with wealth or luxury. Nowadays, it's the state that claims the role of being the primary educator of children. And the results of that decision have been disastrous. As churches and parents, and you remember it used to be that it was the church that was the center of the local school. It was the church that set up the school. It was the church that set the curriculum. It was the church that administered the discipline. And family and church worked together. But somehow or other, with increasing socialization, church and family gave over the responsibility to the state. And the results have been disastrous. Because as churches and parents have abdicated responsibility to be fully involved in the development of their children, and they've handed that task over to the state, what has happened? Families have disintegrated. And the state itself is suffering the consequences. Because no matter who's in government, and this is the grieving thing, when Christians get carried away with some political party or some political philosophy, doesn't matter who's in government, why the families of America are falling apart, America's falling apart. There's nothing can change that. Can't be done. God starts with the home. Remember what I said? Church and state were God-given extensions of the domestic arrangement, not the other way around. The results of the state as the primary educator have certainly been a tragedy. Parents are to instruct their children. Parents are to provide for their children. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 14 says, children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So it's the parents' role to provide for the children. Not only physically, they must provide physically. It's their duty. I don't want to get off. If I were in another part of the world, I may have to do this. It's not the state's responsibility. And I'm not saying for a moment that a state should be careless and make no provision for children in great need. I'm not saying there should be no safety net. I'm not getting into that argument even. But I am saying this, that it is not the role of the state to rear your children. That's your role. And rearing them, as we read in Ephesians 6, means nurturing them, feeding them, caring for them. There is provision physically. But that's not all it's talking about. There's the extension of this to emotionally and morally and spiritually providing for them. Now that is the calling of parents. The calling of parents is to provide the best possible home for their children. And providing the best possible home for children, you know, has very little to do with wealth and luxury. Some of the worst homes you could ever be in are some of the most wealthy. And some of the best homes you could ever be in are some that have very little of this world's goods. Providing the best possible home for children has little to do with wealth and luxury. All too often, especially in this society in which we live, there's such an emphasis on providing for the physical, providing financially, that these other areas are either overlooked or at least downgraded. And that's absolute and abject folly. We should do all in our power to ensure that we cater for every aspect of the need of a child. That's the calling of parents, to provide physically, financially, emotionally, morally, spiritually. That's the calling of a parent, to provide. Now listen very carefully. I wish I didn't even have to mention this, and I'm going to be very careful what I say. If that's the role of a parent, then no parent has the right to abuse or ruin a child. I realize that this word abuse is a buzzword among secular socialists. But don't let that blind you. We all know that it is also a tragic reality. Many parents, and I have known some of them, look on their children as mere chattels, and they treat them as slaves. In many homes, sadly, some of them supposed to be Christian homes, sadly, again, many of them even preachers' homes. In many homes, mental and physical cruelty are meted out at the whim of a foul-tempered father or mother. Many homes. This is something that the lid is only getting lifted off. Many homes are dens of incest and of iniquity. I could name you preachers. I dare not call them Christians. I could name you preachers who have stood for years behind the desk, who have gained eminence as defenders of this Bible, who raped every daughter in their home. Then they wonder why those children grow up broken. There's a reckoning day. I wouldn't stand. I would rather die an atheist. I would rather die a heathen. I would rather die a sodomite than to die a preacher who had ruined the very children God gave me. Very often parents try to justify the most wicked behavior. They seek to silence their children by telling them you have to honor your father and your mother. I want to tell you, my friend, it is not honor for a father and a mother that does not turn such a monster as I have described over to the police. It is not obedience on the part of a wife. It is not submission on the part of a wife that allows that to happen without putting that reprobate behind bars. But they silence people by telling them all too often, look what I provide for you. These very same people will lavish gifts. They will give money. They will do this. They will do the other thing. That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. They're not providing anything. They're
robbing those children of the most precious things of all. Parents are to instruct. Parents are to provide. And indeed, parents are to discipline their children. They must set up biblical standards and sanctions. I realize that we live in a day when, both in church and in family, the whole idea of standards is frowned upon. There is such a notion of Christian liberty that you don't have any standards at all, and if you have standards, you're a legalist. Well, let me tell you, that is so far from the truth it would be laughable if it weren't so serious. Legalism is the doctrine of obtaining righteous acceptance with God by the works of your own obedience, either in whole or in part. That's legalism. But it is not legalism to seek to conform your life in obedience to the law of God. That's sanctification. There's a world of difference. There should be standards in our homes. And there should be sanctions to impose those standards. And parents are called upon by God to be parents. They are not buddy-buddy, brother or sister to the children, however close, and I would want them to have the closest and most loving possible relationship and the most open possible relationship. But they must be there to represent God and God's word and God's law and God's standard, and parents must have the spiritual courage and faith to impose the sanctions of those standards. It's vital. You mustn't be like Eli. Eli had sons that he raised to be damned. He saw them become priests, but he still saw them damned. And the Lord put his finger on what was wrong with Eli. When his sons were going into sin, he didn't restrain them. Now, when you find that, when you read the record, you find that he did speak to them about their sin. He did speak to them, which is more than many Christian parents would do. He spoke to them. You would say he remonstrated with them about their sin. He pleaded with them not to go on in their sin. But the one thing he wouldn't do was set up the standard of God's holiness and apply the sanction of God's law. In other words, when they trampled what he said beneath their feet, he just threw up his hands and said, "What can you do?"
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.